For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Blue skies, fresh cut grass, birds chirping.
You love this golf stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Back to A, live at the Tour Championship.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9, The Game. Here at East Lake, the Tour Championship. Abe Gordon, just off 16 here at the Dobell Tequila Tent. I'll tell you what, before we get to outside the perimeter, a couple things have astonished me here. The amount of liquid that people have spilled from their alcoholic beverages this week. I mean, I can't tell you. And look, I understand that, like, the drinks melt quickly and you don't want to stand in line that long and you probably carry two or three at a time. I don't hate that play, but I would find a way not to spill any of those three. And I just see people just tilting. And I'm like, it's going to spill. It's going to spill. It's going to spill. I mean, I just saw a guy drop essentially a third of his transfusion because he was trying to hold two cups of transfusion with one hand right on the floor, right in front of me. I can't imagine how much alcohol has been spilled and wasted around this. And it's one thing, like, if you spill, like, a $3 shot. It's like $20 drinks, man.
So that's exactly what I was just about to say. I was going to say, if you had to estimate, how much money do you think, like, of worth of alcohol has been spilled that you've seen?
I see someone spill at least a sip or two every 10 minutes. And every once in a while, you see someone, like, with a steady stream of his drink just exiting to the ground. I would say around this whole golf course. You mean like over the course of 18 holes?
Just from what you've seen today. Just from what you've seen today.
The amount of liquor that I've seen spilt today, just from where I'm sitting in a limited viewpoint, is $80.
I think that's
four drinks. I think four entire drinks have been spilt over the course of the time.
I would say per person. If you're here, let's say having like a weekend experience, you're here for 2 to 3 days. That could roughly be $100 to $150 in. That's just on the ground now.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's just, here's the thing.
They're good drinks, we will say. The Dobell tent,
I haven't seen anyone drop the whole drink today. I saw that a couple days ago.
Seen it a few times throughout these last few days.
$50
drink,
you know. I haven't seen anyone do it today, but, and I really haven't seen anyone spill like half of a drink yet. It's just drips and drops there. I think the drips and drops probably add up to five drinks. That's why I'll say about $80. But still, like, I mean, obviously when I get real towards the end of the night, I might accidentally knock over my own drink. But, like, early on in the day, like, I would do anything to not accidentally pour out part of my liquor. Like, anything. And it's just astonishing to me how so much has hit the floor. That's all. Yeah, maybe that's just me. Scotty Scheffler back to 30 under now with a five-shot lead. They are finished at 14, headed to 15. So they'll be coming this way soon. Sahith Tagala is somewhere. That might be his ball right there. I see a ball in the 16th fairway. That's either Sahith Tagala or Xander Schauffele's. I'm not sure which one, but one of them's right there. And they'll have an approach to the 16th green. I'll be able to see it here shortly. Actually, that looks like a drive that's been a little bit further than some of the other drives today. So I'm just saying, that's very impressive. We are live at East Lake here at the Tour Championship. Championship Sunday. It got interesting for a while, but it now does look like Scotty Scheffler is going to march his way towards the championship here in Atlanta, Georgia, and $25 million richer. We're keeping an eye on that, but we are also keeping an eye on a couple of other things going on both inside of Atlanta and outside, and we do that in a segment that I call Outside the Perimeter.
It may be the ATL show, but it's bigger than just Atlanta. It's time to go outside the perimeter.
Spanning the globe. Spanning the globe.
On the ATL show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, a couple quick thoughts, and for those who are maybe not following it as much, the U.S. Open tennis is going on right there in Flushing Meadows, New York. Coco Gauff and Emma Navarro are about 15 minutes from starting their match. Obviously, the matches have taken quite a bit today. A five-setter in the men earlier kind of pushed the schedule back. Four-setter, though, for Taylor Fritz, who moves on. He gets past number 8 seed Casper Ruud. He's into the quarterfinals. One American is in. You're going to have an opportunity for two more to join him today. Brandon Nakashima, going to be very difficult to knock off. A red-hot Alexander Zverev. He's the 4 seed. And then Alexei Popirin, who I think is the one who knocked off Novak Djokovic or Carlos Alcaraz, I forget which one. But Francis Tiafoe is going to be facing him. That'll be tonight under the lights there at Arthur Ashe Stadium. So keeping an eye on that one as well. Jessica Pegula also on to round 4. Tommy Paul on to round 4. They're going to play tomorrow. He's going to face Yannick Sinner, the 1 seed. So tough go there. All right. This is the story that broke last night, and we've been a little bit hesitant to spew too many details. But 49er rookie receiver Ricky Pearsall was shot in a robbery incident in Union Square, reportedly shot over a Rolex. And it appears like there's been a lot more confirmation that he was shot in the chest. It missed all vital organs. The bullet did leave through his back. And that was directly confirmed from his mother on social media. So, obviously, best thoughts are with Ricky Pearsall and the 49ers there. And it's just it's something we've seen a lot more of in recent years, and that is athletes being targeted. Maybe not as much in person here, but certainly when they're playing, when they're on road trips, we've seen burglaries and house break-ins and robberies quite a bit. So, wish there was a way we could put an end to that, but, you know, criminals will be criminals, and that's where that stands. Clemson legend DeAndre Hopkins calls for change. Does Dabo need to change, or does Dabo need to leave? I think that's the question. He's done it to himself. The refusal to adapt and get with the times in college football is the biggest problem for Dabo Sweeney, and now it's starting to make some noise with some of the school's greatest of all time, and DeAndre Hopkins, I would say, is certainly one of those. And so it'll be interesting to see if the seat gets a little bit hotter for Dabo. And, of course, it's only one game to the Georgia Bulldogs. It wasn't a great look, but certainly you can write the season and still accomplish a couple things. And so we'll see how that goes. Looks like they are not too far from us now on 16. I still can't see who it is. But they're both lined up there, and they're going to take a run at the flagstick here in just a couple of seconds. We talked about the NFL getting underway a little bit later this week. Thursday there's a game, Friday there's a game, and then obviously Sunday and Monday action. A reminder that the Friday NFL game is in Brazil. It's going to be between the Packers and the Eagles. And not that we're all following political news in Brazil right now, but Twitter/X has been banned in Brazil. And with the Friday game there, I'm really interested to see how it gets covered on social media. Now, obviously, anyone's going to be able to tweet out highlights of the game from their couch, like I will, on Friday night. But for those in attendance, for those covering the game, I mean, it's almost to the point where you wouldn't send your reporters because they won't be able to spread information about what's going. So an interesting setup there. Really interested to see how that plays out and if anyone gets in trouble. I know some people, probably selfishly because they want to go to the game, have made some calls for the NFL to not go to Brazil. And this is nothing new. Like, there were calls when they announced this game was going to be in Brazil. Oh, it's not safe enough, and so we're not going to go. So, everyone seems excited. Don't wear green, I think, is the big moral of the story in that one. And this one I saw earlier as well. The NCAA may adjust some of their eligibility rules. One of them being the national letter of intent, once signed, will now end player recruitment. But they also said that they're going to potentially, and this all has to be voted on, just a proposal, potentially going to allow athletes to retain eligibility if they're paid for competing outside of college sports for enrolling. For me, I think of those who are either amateur golfers or swimmers, prize money for track athletes, stuff like that. They have not been able to accept prize money on junior circuit, stuff like that. So we'll see how that goes if they do end up following through and getting through that. Story late last night, Abilene Christian really pushed Texas Tech to the brink, and we'll talk about this in our next segment. But after the game, Abilene Christian was involved in a bus crash. Four were injured. It doesn't seem like it's too threatening or anything like that. Minor injuries there outside of Lubbock, Texas, but certainly a scary situation for the Abilene Christian football team. And Mo Salah says it could be his final year at Liverpool. It's tough to think of him elsewhere. A lot of times we do see guys move on and you kind of expect it, but if he would be one, that'd be interesting. Kind of tough to see him move on. So that's what we're keeping an eye on. Real quick, up in Chicago, the White Sox hosting the New York Mets, and we talked about it earlier. It was a solo home run by Francisco Lindor in the fourth inning, and thus far that has held. The Chicago White Sox have two hits right now. Let's see who pitched. Sean Manaea pitching for the Mets have held the White Sox to two hits, and obviously we talked about it with the Braves. Like, if it's 1-0 and the Mets win, the Braves are at real risk of being right up against it, because if the Braves don't win tonight, that lead for the third wild card could be down to just one game left. So that is what's going on there in outside the perimeter. All right, I'm going to break a smidge early here because I got a lot to say about college football. So when we come back here, we're going to get into it, what we saw and what the takeaways and observations were for college football. Real quick, Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa are now through 15. They are going to be teeing off very shortly, if they haven't already, here at 16. We're going to be able to see, I won't know which one hit it necessarily, but we'll be able to see their ball in the 16th fairway. If you're walking up and watching them, we are on the right side of the fairway at the Dobell Tequila Tent. Come on and say hello, but very excited to see what would appear to be Scottie Scheffler, future champion of this tournament, the Tour Championship here at Eastlake, taking his shot on 16. All right, we're going to step away for a couple of minutes. I'm going to go out to the fairway and watch the approach and see what I can see. And when we come back, we will dive back into week one in college football. Biggest takeaways, observations, thoughts, and a preview of tonight's game, USC and LSU, all coming your way next. It's the APTL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Day of the Tour Championship, and Abe Gordon is live with our exclusive coverage.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Nobel Tequila Tent. Abe Gordon here at East Lake, right along the 16th fairway. I just saw Colin Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler take their approach shots onto the green. They're walking now down the fairway and up onto the green here at 16 as they come through. And this tournament in short order will be over. Scottie Scheffler, unless he tin cups this thing, is got a five-shot lead and will hold on. And just a dominant season for him this year. So congratulations in advance to him. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll see if anything wonky happens. But now on the 16th green, Colin Morikawa's eyeing a putt. Scottie Scheffler's looking over his. And very shortly, they'll take care of 17 and 18. And that will be it for the Tour Championship here in Atlanta. Another great season-ending event. And it's going to clear. This is what I'm interested to see before we get to college football here. I want to see how quickly it clears out here, because there's no reason to be hanging around after. And they're about to move from Sydney. Like, you can see, like, the 16th fairway, they're gone. People are gone from the 16th fairway already. You still got a crowd up here at the 16th green. I assume that crowd is going to head to 17 and follow the entire hole, 17 and 18. Might be a ghost town here in a couple of minutes. The line got shorter, so that's good. I think they're still serving for a good 10 or 20 minutes here. So we'll see. You're not too far. So be nice if they're still serving when I got off air. I can enjoy one because, you know, during the show. Actually, I can't anyways. I got that run tomorrow. I keep forgetting. I keep wanting to do something fun tonight, and I remember I got that 10K tomorrow. It always comes back to, hey, hydrate. Do nothing fun. Be smart with your dinner. That sort of thing. So, I do need to hydrate. I've had a good amount of water, but we're keeping it going.
Grab yourself a seltzer or something like that. Grab yourself a White Claw.
That can only lead to dehydration, and I'm on team hydration right now. So we're staying focused. Week one observations in college football. We'll see how much of this we get through this segment. It might carry over into next segment, and if that's the case, we'll take care of it then. But there's a couple things I want to say about the Georgia Bulldogs and their performance yesterday. Obviously, Georgia dominates in the second half. They beat Clemson 34-3 in this one yesterday. It was 6-0 heading into halftime. But they scored touchdowns on four of their first five drives coming out of halftime. Carson Beck there gets it done, 278 yards and two touchdowns for Carson Beck. And they got it done on both sides, and that's probably going to be a majority of the games this year, because the Georgia defense, Malachi Starks forced a turnover, ridiculous interception there in the secondary. The Georgia defense had one job, and that was to limit Phil Maffa. Because there was no shot that Cade Klubnik was going to beat you. The job was to limit Phil Maffa, and they did. Klubnik, just 142 passing yards in this one, and I'd say probably 30 of those came on like a last-minute drive in which the Georgia defense wasn't exactly ramping up to come after him. So very dominant from Georgia. I will say this. The run game was not there for the Bulldogs. And a lot of that has to do with the Clemson defensive front, which we talked about before the game, is one of the better defensive fronts in all of college football. So it's not an overly huge surprise that the Georgia Bulldogs were not able to really lean on their run game. But I also think a couple of things. First off, nice to see Nate Frazier have kind of a breakout, the youngster there. Everyone thought Branson Robinson would be the lead guy, but Nate Frazier was the hot hand, and so they stuck with it. Trevor Etienne better be a game breaker, though, for this Georgia run game, because, and I think he will be, by the way, but he needs to be a game breaker for the Georgia run game. For Georgia to be at its best offensively, they need to be better than they were yesterday. The ball, I think they will be, but certainly having ETN back at some point would help. Also interested to see if the Georgia D-line can be a little bit more impactful. They did a great job stopping the run, and throughout the game they eventually got after Cade Klubnik, but it wasn't a situation like it's been, and it wasn't the situation last year, which is what the cause for concern is, but 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the pockets just collapsed, you know. Drop back after drop back after drop back, pockets collapse, collapse, collapse. That wasn't the case necessarily yesterday. But again, Clemson's a very good team, and I think it's difficult to judge some things from Georgia's game that maybe we weren't thrilled with just on Clemson. Again, that is one of the best defensive fronts in college football. So the offensive line didn't maul them and manhandle them. I can understand that. All right, so that's Georgia. Very impressive win. And that brings us, obviously, to the Dabo aspect of things. Well, what's going on with Dabo? His refusal to use the transfer portal, his nonsense comments in press conferences. This is a guy that's got to wake up and figure it out, because the clinging on to the premise that he won two national championships like a decade ago, which is we're creeping towards it. It's been a minute. That's going to run foul. That's going to turn sour pretty quickly. He's got to get this Clemson program back on track. They're still doing okay recruiting, but there's something off there, and quite frankly, it's Dabo. Penn State, West Virginia. Took Penn State a little while to get going, but they did eventually take over. Drew Aller looked really good. But the question about Drew Aller is still going to remain as well. He needs to do it in big games. I mean, Drew Aller looked like a world beater last year until they played Michigan and Ohio State, and then he looked like every other quarterback that faces Michigan and Ohio State. And this is a guy that needs to be the difference for Penn State this season, and James Franklin needs him to be the difference. So, yes, they looked good. That's nice. But at the end of the day, the questions about him are going to remain until they can do it against one of the better teams in conference. Virginia Tech came in with high hopes in the ACC. A lot of people were saying the same things. Return more starters than anyone in college football. Kyren Drones is the most underrated quarterback in college football. Well, they go into Vanderbilt. They fall behind 17-0. They eventually take a lead, but they do not hold it. Vanderbilt beats Virginia Tech in overtime, and a lot of questions start to get asked now of Virginia Tech. Not that one game ruins the season, but this is a pretty bad one. The Miami Hurricanes, 19th in the country. When the next polls come out, they will not have 19 next to their name. They're going to jump way up in the rankings after their performance. They go on the road to the Florida Gators and embarrass Billy Napier, 41-17. Cam Ward threw a bad interception early in this game, but he rebounded quite fairly and quite easily. And they dominated the game on both sides of the ball. Florida's offense had nothing going on. If you take away the one, you take away the 75-yard run from Montrell Johnson, wasn't much there. DJ Lagway did come in later in the second half and lead a touchdown drive, so maybe a little bit of hope for Florida fans. there. We talked about this one before with our guest, John Bryce, who joined us in the first hour. Boise State and Georgia Southern. Boise State wins 56-45, and running back Ashton Genty, 267 yards and six touchdowns. That is a name to watch there out of the group of five. And Boise State might be one of the better group of five teams. They might be the college football playoff representative from the group of five. But if they do it, it's going to be because Ashton Genty is the real deal. And look, a lot of times you just see some of these running backs at smaller programs and you suggest, well, you're just padding stats and this and that. No, Ashton Genty is one of the top running backs in college football. He's going to go probably among the top three or four running backs when the draft comes around. So there you go. That's what Boise State's got working on offense. Number 7, Notre Dame at number 20, Texas A&M. The premier primetime game last night. Notre Dame wins 23-13. They scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. And this game came down to exactly what I suggested it would, exactly what I thought it would. Riley Leonard and the Notre Dame defense. Riley Leonard, if you got a close game, if you need to score or extend a drive, Riley Leonard can do it with the arm, but as he showed last night, he can also do it with the legs. That is something that Notre Dame hasn't necessarily had in a couple of years. But again, the Irish defense, and this is something else John Bryce, who covers Notre Dame, but also nationally for footballscoop.com, said. Notre Dame went into Texas A&M. They went into Kyle Field and looked like the SEC team. They were faster, they were bigger, they were stronger. And the defense played like it. I talked about the secondary there for Notre Dame throughout the day yesterday. I talk about this defense. I'm bullish on them for that reason. They have multiple All-Americans in the secondary. Xavier Watts, one of the best in the entire country. And so I'm not suggesting Notre Dame is national championship quality, but I don't think they're that far off, and they're probably going to be favored in every game the rest of the way. Michigan beats Fresno State 30-10. Davis Warren gets a surprise start over Alex Orji. Goes for 118 passing yards, though. And look, Sharon Moore was very defensive of the decision, says he won it out in camp, and he'd won it just this past week. You do wonder if you have to maybe second-guess that decision. It was a very slow start for Michigan, and quite honestly, the game's only as close as it was because of a pick six as well. Georgia Tech handles Georgia State 35-12. I do think the score was a little bit misleading. I think Georgia State played a pretty darn good game. A couple times they couldn't punch it in. Penalties messed them up a little bit, but that was pretty competitive, if we're going to be honest. But Georgia Tech, they moved to 2-0 and probably move into the rankings when they release a new AP poll come Monday. You've got Idaho and Oregon. And Oregon, who is the third-ranked team in the country, they win this one, but it's only 24-14. And there were some shaky moments as well. And look, Dylan Gabriel's not at fault here. He threw for 380 yards and two touchdowns. But the Ducks did struggle, and it's just very surprising. And, look, you don't want to take away good or bad too much from one game. But at the end of the day, they're going to need to be much more efficient, much more explosive on the scoreboard if they're going to contend with Georgia and Ohio State and Texas. Speaking of Ohio State, by the way, Jeremiah Smith, the young, touted freshman receiver, was as advertised, two touchdowns there. From Will Howard. UCLA and Hawaii was an interesting one. UCLA eventually got the win. It looked for a while like Hawaii was going to beat UCLA. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But UCLA wins 16-13. Two fourth quarter field goals get the win there. And another one which would have been a huge surprise. Abilene Christian and Texas Tech. Texas Tech's 52-51 win in overtime. Abilene Christian scored a touchdown in overtime. They decided to go for the win, not the tie. Texas Tech stops the two-point conversion. And then, as we mentioned, a minor bus accident after the game for Abilene Christian. But it seems like everyone is okay. Monday night, ESPN 7:30, Boston College at number 10. Florida State is going to wrap up the college football week one slate. Again, that's Monday, and it's going to be a big game for Florida State. They need to rebound and show that they're better than what they were in Ireland. We'll keep an eye on that. But when we come back here, we're going to wrap things up here from the Tour Championship. We have a game tonight at 7:30. I cannot wait to sit down and watch. We're going to talk about it on the other side. Number 23, USC. Number 13, LSU. Games being played out in Vegas where apparently at least one casino's out of Buffalo Trace. The LSU fans have drank them out of bourbon. Probably not the first time they've done that. You got a lot more coming back. The Tour Championship, very close to being all wrapped up. They're on 17 right now, our Scheffler and Morikawa. No change in the score. Still a five-shot lead. So we'll keep an eye on that as they wrap up here. And coming back, we'll wrap up as well. It's Abe Gordon on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
To Abe Gordon
from the Tour Championship at Eastlake Golf Course
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen, boy, I don't want to see you let a good thing slip away.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game.
Watching anybody make the same mistakes I made.
Just they are on 18 right now. Are Scotty Scheffler and Colin Morikawa. And Morikawa did grab one back at 17, but he's still four shots back, and it would take just pretty much a debacle here at this point for Scheffler to not win this tournament. So, again, we'll update you when it does finally go final here, but Scotty Scheffler working his way towards wrapping this thing up. I mentioned we want to talk about some college football things here in just a moment as we wrap up the USC-LSU game. I'm seeing reports, and we were joking, hey, LSU drunk casinos out of Buffalo Trace. I'm seeing reports, though, that this is the most LSU fans that some have seen travel to an opener since LSU took over Lambeau in Green Bay back in 2016. And then it might be even more than that, expecting the stadium to be well over 50% filled with LSU fans, potentially as high as an 80-20 split by Peter Burns of ESPN is suggesting he might expect as much as an 80-20 split there for LSU as they are facing USC, Southern Cal, there in Las Vegas tonight. 7:30 kickoff on ABC. Excited to watch this one. And you got two programs that are kind of very similar, if we're going to be honest. I mean, you got USC that had to replace a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from 2 years ago in Caleb Williams, one of the top draft picks in the NFL draft. You've got LSU having to replace last year's Heisman Trophy winner in Jaden Daniels, one of the top picks in the NFL draft. Obviously, a number of receivers for LSU also went there to the NFL in the NFL draft also. And these are two teams that struggled on defense, two teams that could not figure it out last year, and it cost them games. And the question we're going to find out now is, have they figured it out this year? Both teams have new defensive coordinators stolen from in-conference rivals. D'Anton Lynn from UCLA to USC, and Blake Baker goes from Missouri. They had a very good defense, and he goes from Missouri to LSU. So a lot of questions there. And then maybe not a question for LSU with Brian Kelly, but certainly a question for USC is Lincoln Riley. And look, he has not done enough as to what the expectations were for him. And so we'll see what gets going on there. Got a couple of things here as we wait for Scotty Scheffler to wrap it up here. I got to be honest, and Dom, I know you're not out here, and Jersey Mike, you're here if you want to pop in as well. I get confused sometimes by some of the people that attend some of these events. And this event in particular is odd. There are people who come to this event and don't watch the golf at all.
I think part of it's a
status
thing.
There are people who come here and stand in the sun, in the heat, mind you. I guess it's covered. They pay $20 per drink and don't watch the golf. And I don't mean like they're not on the course, like following golf. They're not even watching the TV that has the golf on.
It's an experience. It's almost like going to like a festival. Think about
it like
that.
It's Championship Sunday. You experience that on Thursday.
I'm just saying, think about it like that. Like, there's all these different tents and different things that you could do, and then when you're ready to tune in.
At some point, listen to music at a festival.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
They didn't listen to music. They just.
No,
we were at the Tito Stillhouse Thursday and Friday. There were people who never left the Tito Stillhouse. At no point did they have interest in going and watch the tournament. And I'm just like.
Well, we've already established, and the listeners might not know this, you're not a big being outside when it's hot guy.
No.
Meaning, like, be around the pool.
No, but I would be outside for the right reasons, like attending a sporting event.
This is a sporting event.
Yeah, but I would be watching the sporting event.
People, we just had a huge crowd of people around here.
How many people sat here and didn't watch? They didn't walk the course. They didn't see
anything. Compared to all those out there.
I know. I'm not saying no one should come. I'm saying I don't understand the people that come, pay $20 a drink, and then watch no golf.
It's the same.
It's a status thing, in my opinion.
You
get the pictures, you get the merch.
I was going to say, it's the same reason that like they took out the dance floors and clubs and stuff and just made them all lounges. It's because no one wants to dance. No one wants to do it. It's all about the vibe. It's all about getting it for, you know, social media to say that you were there and, oh, yeah, look at where I'm at. You know, like Jersey Mike said, it's a status thing.
It's too hot for that. It's too hot for that. I'm just saying, like... I don't disagree with that part. I don't know what tickets are. We obviously got credentials. Like, I have to imagine the cheapest. There's no way you're getting in cheaper than 20, right?
No, probably
not. And
then
the amount of drinks you're having over the course of however many hours.
I can't imagine the parking around here is very cheap either because there's not.
If you want
it,
you
is sort of
Uber,
just in a neighborhood.
You could Uber to the East Lake MARTA. Or you could MARTA to East Lake and figure it out there. I don't know. I was very interested to see the group of people who come here and don't pay attention to the event and then get hammered, which I'm all in favor of that. Like, I can understand that process, but, like, you could just buy a bottle for the amount it costs one drink.
Maybe that's what happens. They show up and they're like, oh, my God, I spent all this money on this, and then they just get hammered to forget and cope.
I don't think that helps because they're spending money.
Oh,
they're
I'm not saying it helps. I'm not saying it's a good thing to do.
We're too late for the Dobel Tequila setup because they shut it down.
Shout out them. This has been an awesome last few days between them, Bushmills,
Yeah, super
Tito's.
Awesome when the storm rolled through on Friday. I'm sure that was fun. Not
hey,
as fun.
An element of danger. Never heard a radio
yeah,
show.
Yeah, for those who maybe missed Dukes of Bell on Friday, they were kicked off the course. And I know what you might be thinking. What did Mike Bell do? Nothing. Mike Bell wasn't even here. Mike Bell's enjoying the remainder of his vacation. And no, they shut down the course because of storms in the area. And from what I hear, from what I heard, Carl Dukes, with his tail tucked between his legs... at one splash of lightning. That's what I heard.
I will say we were dodging. Felt like dodging Zeus at that point. We had lightning strikes coming down all around us. Me, Carl, Turtle, Fricky.
I heard Carl Dukes was throwing others into the path of lightning bolts.
There was a human shield or two.
To protect himself. That's what I heard.
He said, I will survive. Some of you will not. No, he didn't say that.
He didn't need to. Scotty Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, they are approaching the 18th green. And again, $25 million for Scotty Scheffler, assuming he goes on to hold this one. He should at this point in the season. A couple other things I wanted to get to real quick. For anyone running Big Peach, what's the official name? Big Peach Sizzler tomorrow. There's a 10K and 5K. I guess this is also like just a reminder and a heads up. But going from the Chamblee MARTA station down Peachtree Road, Peachtree Street, into the Brookhaven through there, all the way up to Buckhead, Phipps, and Lenox. Peachtree's going to be mostly shut down. I know there's a little bit of a entryway there, but certainly there'll be delay in traffic. Just know that if you're heading from that area. But, hey, if you're running the race tomorrow, hit me up. Let me know. You know, maybe I can run into you at the start line, at the finish line, potentially, you know, during the run. I still haven't figured out what I'm wearing yet. I gotta figure that one out. Obviously clothes, like just the most basic answer. But I mean, like, I, you know, like Deion Sanders before an NFL game, I gotta lay out my race day attire. And I just need to figure out if I'm wearing a tank top to run in or a regular t-shirt, and if I'm going to put the number on my shorts or on my shirt. I've stopped putting the number recently running. And for those of you know who've seen races, people wear like safety pins or magnets or whatever. They put the number on their belly or chest, and then they run the race. I've stopped doing that. I started putting it on my pants, on the thigh there, because it takes away how much of my shirt I can use to wipe sweat off of my face. And I want the full shirt to be able, you know, to wipe sweat off. So I'm probably going to put it on the pants, which means I'll run in my Dunwoody Road Runners. That's right. Dunwoody Road Runners running tank top. So look for me out there at the Big Pete Sizzler. I was told it's a fast course. I drove the course. I just don't see myself going as fast as I would like to. But we're gonna start just like in a full sprint, demon, bat out of hell, and see if we can come in under 50 minutes. That's the goal, is a sub 50 10K. We'll see if it happens. Again, Atlanta Braves baseball on tonight, Sunday night baseball. It's a great night for sports. You don't always get to say that on a Sunday night. Sometimes you get it, but sometimes not. But really good football game in college with USC and LSU. And now, after seeing the reports, very excited to see what the stadium looks like, decked out potentially in yellow and purple. Excited for that. But certainly the Atlanta Braves looking for a win on Sunday night baseball. They need to salvage this series. You know what? Let me go and look and see if the Mets ended up closing that thing out, because the New York Mets had a 1-0 lead here, and they end up winning this game 2-0. Tough go for Garrett Crochet, who's had a heck of a season pitching for the White Sox. But New York wins this game 2-0. And so right now the Atlanta Braves are only 1.5 games ahead of the New York Mets. That means that if they do not beat the Phillies today, they will be just one game ahead of the Mets for that third and final NL wildcard spot. So, again, this is an important game tonight, not so much because you still have hope to chase down the Phillies. You can kiss that one goodbye. But you have got to stay and keep that buffer with you and the Mets. In a win tonight, you would still have a 2-game lead over the Mets, and that gives you a little bit of a room there. Still waiting for the final ball to drop in the hole there on 18. Scheffler and Morikawa are looking over their putts. It looks like Scotty Scheffler is ready to take his putt first there on 18. Obviously, an opportunity to end this tournament right now, and he is going to leave it a smidge short, but he'll be able to tap that in and win this tournament. And it's been a very good 4 days. I know you can take a look at, we mentioned this earlier, you can take a look at the starting 10 under. He only started 10 shots ahead of one guy, and then it was three shots ahead, four shots ahead, five shots ahead. You know, he's only 10 shots ahead of like six guys. Sorry, I flipped it. He's only six shots ahead of like six guys, and then 10 shots ahead of six guys. I cannot figure out the tournament format. I know what happened, and now I'm forgetting it. So he started at 10 under, right? And there's six guys that started even, six guys that started at one under, and then like 5, 4, 3, and one guy started at 8 under, 7 under, 6 under, et cetera. So the 10-stroke lead was only on one guy. That being said, it looks like he's probably going to card the second best overall tournament score, separate of the advantage. Colin Morikawa is probably going to outdo him by two strokes. But again, this is a season-ending tournament. This is a championship for the year. And what the reason they have this format, whether you like it or not, is a couple of years ago when Tiger Woods came roaring down 18 to win this tournament, people forget who actually won the FedEx Cup that season. And so they made some adjustments to try and avoid that, and that's how you've gotten this scoring format. So, again, Scheffler right now standing over it, just about to win the Tour Championship, right as I am about to sign off on the Tour Championship here at East Lake. I want to thank Jersey Mike for coming here, setting up, and then playing iPhone games the rest of the day. I want to thank Dom Cherosky back in studio for doing the real work and keeping us on the air. I am Abe Gordon. I appreciate you all listening to me. Going to be a fun week as we recap. Fun Labor Day. Still another day off, I guess. But should be fun this week heading towards Falcon season. Scotty Scheffler is final. He is the winner of this tournament. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to me. I'll drive home not with $25 million more in my pocket. So that's the only difference between me and Scotty Scheffler today. That's it. Just that. I'm Abe Gordon. Thanks so much. Be back with Andy and Randy on Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of the Labor Day weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.